One of the things that we spoke about a few times that is so important, specifically yesterday, I want to mention, and maybe we could segue to talk a little bit today. I want to share a gra of an Evan Shlema with everybody that I think is so important. But just to follow up a little bit what we spoke about yesterday of a person renewing oneself and creating the life that we want to live, each and every one of us, having the koyach, having the power to choose. One of the most beautiful, inspiring things that a person can remember, what life teaches each and every one of us. I think the Gra actually says this. I don't know if I ever saw it. He says one of the biggest parts of death, the fear of death and the pain of death, is now I can't do anything. I can't change. As long as a person is alive, as long as a person, the power that I can change, that I could do something, even though sometimes, like we said yesterday, it could feel so like it's so the truth that I can't change. But deep down, that a person knows, as long as I'm alive, the koch of bechira, that I can choose to live a different life that I'm living, is very hope. It's about hope. It's about a future. It's about living a life that I want to live. not a life that is being lived for me, but rather I have that ability to choose. That's what we spoke a little bit about yesterday. And I want to emphasize, and then we'll talk more today, what I want to share is that it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction for a person to spend the time healing and a person spending time delving into their past and learning about what they've been through and a person understanding their shortcomings and how sometimes I have certain pain and I have certain things that keep me stuck. And as I've said many times, so for 19 years, for 20 years, you've been living this way. You're not going to just in 1 second be able to start living a new way. It takes time. It takes, if you're 20 years with negativity, if you're 20 years with 19 years living a certain way, so you need another 19 years to live the other way. It doesn't just happen overnight. You know, one of the things I like to share many times is that if a person is down and a person feels a certain way and they're not really feeling productive and they're not doing things, so that sort of goes hand in hand a lot of times. A lack of a person not being able to do and a person feeling a certain way. Certain way, I feel down, I feel anxious, I feel disconnected. It's hard for me to live the life that I want to live. A lot of times that's connected. A lot of times if a person is afraid to engage in life, it's very valid that they might be afraid to engage in life because they have a lot of pain and they have a lot of things holding them back. Sometimes when you actually live a certain way, you're able to tell where that pain is from. It doesn't have to be that you're cured and you're healed from all your pain to begin to live the life that you want to live. Like the example that I'm saying, it could be you need 10 years of healing in a certain area, and it's going to take you 10 years or 5 years or 15 years to get there. So that doesn't mean you're going to wait to live the life that you want to live until you heal. I want to be very, very clear about that. You could sort of try and live that life holding whatever it is that you're holding. It doesn't have to be either or. I don't know if I'm being clear, but I think it's a very important point. A lot of times, people are waiting.
Intellect, yeah. Much quicker than emotions.
Nice.
You make the decision you want right to live this way.
Until you feel that way. Thank you, Rabbi Lazarus. Thank you, Rabbi Lazarus. Well, a lot of time, and I think what happens is that a lot of times we're waiting for our emotions to be on board with our intellect. And it's not a contradiction. That's the point I just want to say from yesterday. They don't have to automatically be together to live the life that you want to live. You could make a decision to live a certain life and still feel a certain way about things. I could still be hurt and I could still be working with certain things and I could still learn. I think that's so important. I hope I'm expressing it properly. And if I'm not, please, I want to communicate it properly. It doesn't have to be either or. It doesn't have to be that I'm healing, and I'm not living the life that I want to live. And then once I'm living the life that I want to live, it means I'm totally healed. They could work together. They could work simultaneous. Make yourself a list. Make yourself a schedule. Challenge yourself why I'm not getting up early in the morning. Not criticize yourself. I didn't say criticize yourself. Be curious why I'm having trouble functioning and doing certain things. Be curious about that. It doesn't mean that you're not healing. It doesn't mean that you're not, it doesn't have to be either or. It doesn't have to be I'm up all day, I'm functioning, high functioning, and I'm doing everything that I want to do, so I'm totally healed. And it doesn't have to be that I'm a wreck and I'm in bed all day. Those are extremes. When a person learns to hold both, when you're able to learn to try and hold both and to say, I'm going to actively live the day that I want to live, even though I'm holding some pain, even though I'm still working through a lot of things, that is very, I think that that's very, very, very important. It's very important because when you begin, that was the message that I think is important of Yaakov and Esav, is that Yaakov is, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this very practically. You know what? I'll segue right into it. The Goyin says like this, very powerful. The Vilna Goyin, the Gra, says this, and that basically means this is like, as Emma says, it's Emma, it's true, this statement. Mashamasik Bala Taiva, what the Baal Taiva is running after. A Baal Taiva is somebody who is chasing and chasing and chasing, let's say, love. You're chasing pleasure. You're chasing and chasing. I'm using that word on purpose because when you chase something, it means you're not going to get it. You're chasing something. You're chasing it and chasing it. I'm constantly chasing and chasing. I'm chasing pleasure. I'm chasing happiness. So the Goyin says like this. He says, Ma shemasik balataiva acharoiv hishtadlis b'inyin ra, nasa l'tmimei derech b'inyin toiv b'loi amol. This is Perek Beis Ois Yud. Somebody who accepts where he is, which is really the difference a little bit between also Yaakov and Esav, this world, the next world. The pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of something, sometimes is what chases that very thing that you are pursuing. It chases it away from you. When you're constantly chasing and chasing something, you're chasing happiness. When you're chasing relationships, the love addict will never, ever, ever find what he's looking for. If I can't find with the person next to me, and if I can't find in my regular day, and I'm not saying this b'derech musar, I'm saying the beauty, I've said this many times about the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim are able to enjoy food, and they're able to enjoy Olam Hazeh even more than we can. The real, I'm not talking, we're all tzaddikim, v'amech kulum tzaddikim. But somebody who is what? Chassid, very good. Somebody who is, right, he's holding, Betsy's holding. Somebody who is holding, yes, they enjoy, but I'm saying, right, 100%, they're able to enjoy. What happens is when I'm the addict, we'll call it, and all of us live in a world of abundance, and abundance is beautiful. One of the weaknesses of abundance is that we have difficulty appreciating what I do have. It's the old example of the guy, if I could borrow that for a second, Avi, it's the guy, and I've said this, those who've been by Kiddush, it's the guy who has the shot, first of all, filling up a cup of whiskey like this is the same thing. A guy who has a shot, a l'chaim, but I'm using it in terms of shot now. A guy who has that shot, we'll call it, and he's holding on to the bottle, so he's not able to appreciate the shot. If I only have one shot, I'll love the shot. I'll enjoy it. When I have so much, when I'm ad cue? When I'm listening to a song, and I'm already adding cue, is that how you say it? Adding two cue? adding to the queue. Why does that make sense?
The queue is
like a line.
The list of songs.
Got it. If I'm looking for the next song, if I'm listening to a song and I'm already on to the next song, so then, right? One of my good friends, Mike Dube, some of you know Mike Dube, one of my best friends, a brother of mine. Mike Dube always used to tell me, when you're at a simcha, you're at a kiddush, and you're talking to that guy, and you're looking for the next best conversation. Like, I'm talking to that person, but I'm really not listening or talking to the conversation. I'm really looking for the next best conversation. I'm drinking... Yeah, that's hard. I tell that to Hassanim. I tell, but that's a natural thing, because you want to make people happy. You want to this, but it's part of it. It's part of the fact that we live in a society now that people go to therapy, and it's beautiful to learn how to breathe, to learn how to be right here, to learn how to take something in my hand and to have mindfulness to be here. Why? Because as long as I continue to chase and run after this world, if I'm looking to run after this world and I'm looking to find happiness, I'm looking to find pleasure, I'm looking to find connection, and I might not realize that I'm already, that's what the Gra says, maybe you're already connected. Maybe you're already close. Maybe you're already close. I spoke to someone recently, and he knows who I'm, that I'm talking about him. I don't mind if, whatever, I'm not going to say his name, but I spoke to him recently and we had a great conversation, and he's someone who was so easy to get close to and so easy to connect to, like naturally. And one of the things we spoke about, and it's so incredible, is his looking for connection. And I'm like, it's right under your nose. And I have the same thing. We all have it. The Gra says it. He says, just like covet, kol ha-bayreach mimenu roidif achrav, kain hu, says the Gra, b'chol ha-taivas, with all desires for anything, the more you pursue it, the more you push it away. The more a person realizes that I have it, that it's within me, I have this relationship with Hashem, I have this relationship, I can't tell you how many times Rebbeim come over to me, Chevra come over to me, we talk, and they say like, oh, I'm struggling with this, and I'm struggling with this, and I'm going through this, and I'm that, and Hashem this, and am I supposed to be learning Gemara? Am I not supposed to be learning Gemara? I'm struggling with my parents, I'm struggling with this thing, The amount of work that we put in, the amount of work that everybody here puts in is incredible. It's mind-boggling. And then what does the Yetzer Hara do? The Yetzer Hara says, you're not putting in enough work. You're not putting in enough work. Do more. Accomplish more. Success breeds success. When a person feels good about what he's doing, when a person realizes that I am enough, I am enough, I am enough. Everybody wants to overflow, as we've spoken many times. We all want to overflow. Maybe my cup is much more full than I think it is. Maybe I have so much more. As the Gra says, the person who's able to open his eyes, it's one of the kavanas that I have when I say pekeach ivrim. Pekeach ivrim means for a person to be awake, to be alive to his blessings, to what I have. Esav ends up selling his this world. That's the joke. The joke is, this is the joke a little bit. The joke is we have this world and the next world. And I've said this many times. If Hollywood was really that good, honestly, I'm being very, I think I'm being honest with myself. If Hollywood and all the quote-unquote riches and the movies and the yachts and the pleasures was that good, sign me up. And I mean that. Sign me up. Where people, especially a yid, we're mevakesh, where we want to connect to the ultimate toiv. We want to connect to the ultimate. We want to connect to the ultimate pleasure. The ultimate pleasure is maybe here. It's maybe exists within me. Maybe it already exists in me. Esav is sad. Esav is sad, you know why? Because he can't even enjoy this world. I can't even enjoy this world. Shabbos. Shabbos is about enjoying this world. Shabbos is the microcosm of a Jew. You know why? Because it's the day of the soul, and it's all about the physical. Shabbos is called Yuma D'Nishmasa. It's the day of the soul. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. And what's the avoda of Shabbos? To eat chalon, to sleep, to eat herring, to make a l'chaim, to take a walk, to sit with chevra, to sit with your family, to do all physical things. Why? Because what's the pshat? You're too late, Avi. What's the pshat? Do the shuichas are over?
Yeah?
I'm not going to remember.
Next time, we'll get it next time.
But do you hear what I'm saying? Meaning the yuma of the soul. We're the people of the soul. Our whole existence is screaming quietly. What do? We sit in a room, we're in a caravan. And what do? We talk about life. Talk to any other person who's in university. They already, by the way, I saw a beautiful, I love it. Sorry, I don't mean to be so facetious. I saw in the UK, I don't know if you guys saw this, a professor already, you saw this? A professor in the UK already teaching in a school, in a university, that the Jewish people bake matzah with Christian blood. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'll show you the article. I just saw the article. I'm like, it's 2025. And what are they telling? What are they selling? What are they selling? What are they selling? Yeah, right. Everyone what? Yeah, what?
Not good.
There you go. It's crazy. And what are we talking about? We're talking about how to be a good husband. We're talking about how to be a good person. How to clean the bathroom after you go to the bathroom. Good, I like it. Now you're starting me early. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about not. I'm gonna have to go slower. We are talking about not speaking negative about another person. Tell that concept to someone who's ain't a Yehudi I'm not even able to ask a question. So how is the food? So how is your Shabbos meal? I'm not allowed to even ask that question because someone might say, we were sitting here the other night and someone says, oh, I like that sushi restaurant. That's the best sushi. That one's better than that one. I said, possible Lashon Hara. Who talks like that? Who thinks like that? They're telling us that we're committing genocide. They're preaching and teaching that we're the destroyers. And we're sitting here learning how to love more and how to be connected more. Okay, I'm going to have to prepare better, so that was good. Go, Rav Hillel, Rav Bensi, and then Rav Hillel.
Are you saying how
yeah.
the
Yeah.
Maybe you already are more full than you think, but I'm saying,
yes,
even to double down,
yes,
maybe you're not, but if you could start to appreciate a little bit, then you're not chasing away what you could have been having. At least you're not sending, once you could appreciate what you have, then it's going to come more to you, to where you want to be.
Yeah, yeah. So first of all, beautiful. I want to knage on what Bentzi's saying for a second. If you feel, and this is a deep thing that I'm going to say, it's based off of the Gemara. If a person feels that he's not enough, wherever he is, it's very important. Shalom, I want you to hear this, very important. For real. I want you to hear this, very, very, it's very, very powerful what I'm going to say right now. A person who feels that he's never enough will usually always feel that he's never enough, no matter what he does, until he learns to feel that he's enough. You hear what I'm saying? Meaning it's not about doing more. We all have to do more. We all have to learn to do more. But not in order to feel that I'm enough. I'm already enough.
Then once you ask yourself where my cup level is at, you're already too far.
The more we learn to realize that I am enough, the more I learn to realize that I am enough, the more I'll actually do. That's the irony. If I'm chasing, and I'm chasing to be enough, and to be validated, and to be accepted, and to be pleasured, the Baal Taiva never, ever, 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 the drinker, the gambler, tell me someone who has made, and again, I'm not so familiar with the world of let's say a gambler, but tell me when the guy made $50,000 or he made $20,000 that he said that was enough. Tell me the guy who fulfilled his taiva and said I had enough. Because the pshat is that the whole system is crooked. The crookedness is that I'll never, ever, ever, no matter, I can make $1 million. I could fulfill all my desires. But I'll never get there. Morty, I'm giving you 2 minutes because I'm going to introduce you. Morty, I want you to share something.
Yeah.
Only if you want to. Woo! Morty Rosenbluth is here, and I want to end off. Morty Rosenbluth is here, and I just, Raphael, did you want to say something? I just want to end off. What?
The question was answered.
Okay, good. Good. Baruch Kivanti. I want to end off by saying, not only is it reachable, not only can we attain what it is that we want to attain, but I don't know if the word is challenge. I want to ask if maybe all of us can work on, all of us together, maybe all of us can work on together learning to, I don't want to say the word like love ourselves more, that's way too cliche, but maybe I can learn to realize that maybe I'm already. Look at Elia. Everybody know Elia? Elia. The sweetest of the sweet. Sweetest of the sweet. What, he has to make another album to be someone who when I listen to a song, I feel closer to Hashem. I feel closer to myself. How old were you when you wrote that song? 18 years old. So I'm saying, so what are you going to do? So he's 18 years old, that Hashem gave him a matana, that it's a song that is so deep, that is so powerful. And sometimes it's much easier for us to see it in other people. To see it in your friend means you could see it in yourself. Just like when you see the negative in your friend, it's because you have that negative in yourself. So too, when you see the jealousy in your friend and the beauty in your friend, it's because you have it in yourself as well. Morty Rosenbluth is here. Morty is a powerhouse. Where is he? Morty is like family to me, and I don't say that lightly. Morty and his parents, his grandparents, his uncles, they smell good. His whole family smells good. Morty smells good, both. He does. Morty's a person who I want him to come to Yeshiva more to share from his journey, and because all of us, each and every one of us, I just want to tell everybody here something. You're not, I didn't mean to bang like that. See, I did the bang. I want to tell everybody something. What I want to say is that better? It's really.
That's great.
I just want to share that whatever you're going through, whatever you think that you're actually like different, it's not true. It's not true. You're not alone. You're never alone. You're never lost in your own world. There's always someone who's there for you. There always will be someone who's there for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how twisted you think you are, how messed up you think you are, how different you think you are, how crazy you might think you are. That in itself, yeah, right? That in itself is probably the biggest thing that the Yetzirah wants you to feel. Yetzirah wants you to feel that there's something wrong with you. They say the difference between guilt and shame. Everyone knows Brené Brown's difference between guilt and shame. Ruvignone, you want to tell us? Guilt is?
I did something wrong.
And shame?
I did.
Right. So shame is there's my essence. My essence is there's something wrong with my essence of who I am. It's not true. Yisrael af al pi shechata Yisraelu. Go, Morty.
I don't know. I'll take this chance to do something I kind of want to do for a while. Hello, I'm Mordechai. Very nice introduction. Should I do that vulnerable thing where I tell you all I'm nervous before I start?
Yeah.
I'm very nervous.
You don't look nervous.
Thank you. This yeshiva is very, very special to me for many, many reasons. Some of them, if you look at it from an outside perspective, like would be considered negative. But I'll start like this. Somebody asked me why I still come here. Even though it's like, I do have like a busy schedule, I guess. And there's like a lot of stuff I like to do and I don't live very close to here. But one of the things that keeps me coming back here is it's very easy for me to identify with you guys because I've suffered being here. I was here in the worst time of my life when everything came to a head in terms of pain, in terms of the way I viewed myself, in terms of the way I viewed God. And here was like the first time where I felt like safe in knowing that I was suffering, where I could tell somebody I was suffering and it was okay. And I wasn't worse off because of it. And the type of lessons I learned here and then I learned right after I left here, and then I'm going to tell you like what I do kind of a little bit in the briefest way possible. Was when I was here, I came to like a realization, I'm gonna get really real, is I am a degenerate drug addict. Like not good. And when I was here, I used a tremendous amount of drugs and alcohol to try to solve the problem when the answer was right in front of me, especially when it was here. When I was here, that it became apparent to me that the people seeking the God solution were doing so much better than me, who was seeking the gambling, drugs, women's solution. And there are still guys here, and I see it, and I hear actually, like, it was actually very nice just walking through here and hearing guys talk about gratitude and talking about a relationship with God and the people around them. But I kind of want to just introduce, I don't really know what I'm supposed to say, but I wanted to just introduce myself to this group because I'm part of a larger group that helps people who are struggling with things that maybe traditional therapies don't help with, which is I cannot stop doing these negative behaviors even when I have that incredible moment of clarity that comes around every once in a while that I need to stop. And this, you don't need to go to rehab to get better, or you don't need to disconnect from the world to get better. There's a solution already here. It's a God solution. It's a cleaning up my behavior solution. It's a solution of appreciating the things I have and not wondering about the things I don't. One of the greatest things that was ever told to me was anxiety is thinking about the future, depression is thinking about the past, and learning how to live in the present. But the greatest gift I was given was then that person told me about a very practical way of getting that to that place. Because to be very honest, as much learning as I tried to do, I never really connected to it. Really, I didn't. And I tried, genuinely. Where I was going to Shir, out of Chavrusa, I just couldn't connect. And having somebody come in and be like, I have a way for you to, in terms of practical action, connect with this idea that there's a God solution rather than a human kind of satisfaction solution. And I say some pretty radical things, but they're actually not that crazy. I have people who can tell you they're not that crazy. But yeah, I want to be part of this yeshiva in a way of, I want to give the thing that was given to me and I want to give it to you for free. Dude, can I say something crazy? You can tell me anything and I will not tell your rabbi. I will not tell your parents. I will not tell your friends. You could tell me that you were doing the most insane thing in the world, but if you're telling me it through the prism of I'm looking for a solution, I got you. And I will give you everything that was freely given to me that could help you. I'm not an agent of the yeshiva. I don't know a lot of the people here. I don't know your parents. I don't know a lot of the communities you're from. I was just, when I was at my lowest of lowest, I was given solutions by people who gave it to me for free. And for free, and as they were saying, like, they were happy and free to give it to me. And I kind of want to pass that on to anybody who wants it. And yeah, I don't really have much else to add other than, like, to talk about what the Rebbe said is, we're all very similar. Like, I see myself and a lot of guys here where it's like, there's not an effort problem. It's not a problem of effort. I see a lot of guys here putting in a lot of effort. Some practical changes in terms of practical behaviors and the way I view things could really change the way I live my life. And I wish somebody gave it to me when I was 18, because I didn't have direction from the time I was like 16 until I was, I guess, 22. And those years was tremendous suffering, tremendous, I know the answers to my problems and just give me time till I can implement my answer, my solution, my this, self, I, sins of self, sins of everything. Until I can, you know, sin my way out of depression, I guess. But things do really get better if you make a change. Now, if you don't make a change, you can watch the progressive nature of all kind of erosions of the mind happen. But you can skip out on the 10 to 15 years of hell that we were all staring at in one way or another by making practical, behavioral, gratitude-based, God-based changes now. I'd love to know all of you, honestly. And there's a lot of guys who I'm friends with who are like itching to come here and talk to you about their experience and their solutions. And I'm not talking about three, I'm talking about like over a dozen guys want to come here and give over their experience. And they're looking for guys to be like, hey, I was in yeshiva. I had a problem with gambling. I could not stop even when that moment of clarity hit, or I could not stop drinking alcohol or doing drugs. And why? Because I had this idea that because of the suffering that I need to not do the suffering. There's a solution where you're not, God, I wish somebody told me this. When you learn how to not do your behaviors, you're not learning how to stay with the suffering, but learn how to not do the behavior. You're learning how to not suffer anymore, and then you won't need that behavior anymore. I promise you, we have promises. I don't bring maybes this. I have promises I'll give you that if we look at things through a godly, what's the right thing to do, not the thing that's going to make me happy, and am I grateful for the things I have, you won't have the suffering anywhere that'll fuel the bad behaviors. And we like labels, or we don't like labels this year? What's the... I don't know, I come by...
Friedlers.
Friedlers.
We like labels.
Friedlers can do whatever you want.
If it's an addict,
no, it's like, am I allowed to say things are bad?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. There are things that are just bad, destructive behaviors that you don't need and are going to take you further away from your goals, not get you closer to them. And I'd love to have a conversation about all of them, honestly, because the biggest thing that helps me is when other people are getting better. It's one of the best gifts. When a guy is quote unquote worked on, the best way to continue working on yourself once you get to a certain past the beginning stages is always helping the next guy who's in the exact same position as you. And a lot of guys are in the exact same position I was on, and it would be nothing but an honor and a pleasure to be part of your journey. So I'd love to know all of you. Cut that out. Just kidding.
Have a wonderful light up tomorrow with today.
Wow. That was amazing.